It's
talking about King Saul.
King Saul, when he was given the kingdomship at a younger age, and but then he turned from it and he followed the people instead of following God, and he didn't fulfill all the commandments that was commanded of him because he thought better. He thought better. But who could think better than God? If we just listen to what he says and follow what he says. Because it's all about him, anyway.
Before we go on, would it be okay if we had a word of prayer? You are God and we are not. And we want to learn what that means, but we want to live what that means. We ask you to be our teacher. Lord, I remember, because you bring it to my mind, you dealt with 12 people and you turned the world upside down to those 12. The word says, despise not the day of small beginnings. We think there's got to be a whole lot of people, but God plus one's a majority. So we want to enter into what it is you're wanting us to enter into. We want to hear, we want to understand, we want to grow. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody else benefit from last week? Anything happened? Yes, sir?
Well, I know it's, for me, it reemphasized the fact that, yeah, we all hear God, but do we really listen when we hear? And it's, I know that's sometimes a tough path to follow between the two.
Yes, sir. Completely different. When God says things like, behold, or ho, or selah, to think about it, there's a reason God has that in there. It's not just to take up space to add words to a verse. It's because he's trying to get our attention. When Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody has ears, but are we really listening? Are we really listening like our life depends on it? Are we listening with the importance that God's putting on it? Like our kids, we go to talk to them, and they're watching TV or something. They don't listen. You know what I'm saying? They're playing their game. They're doing whatever. And then we yell at them or smack them or whatever we do to get their attention. You know, poke them with a stick. You know what I'm saying? To get their attention. That's what they used to do, you know, with kids. And like around the 1700s, 1600s, and the school teacher would have a stick, either hit the desk or poke them, you know. I'm not saying they did everything right. I'm just saying it was just something came to my mind. Did anybody else learn anything from last week? Anybody else glean anything that you would like to share? What we were talking about is actually the whole chapter of 1 Samuel, and I preach to large numbers of people without one, so it's not like I've got a built-in one, you know. I think it reverbs with my own, you know, built-in system, you know. We're talking about 1 Samuel, chapter 15. I believe there's 33 verses there, if I remember correctly, or 34, something like that. But last week all we talked about was verse 1. And we talked about it in a format more of like just discussing, like round table maybe, discussing. Um, the title or the main subject is You Are God and I Am Not. And I like what Jen said, that all week, see, this happens to me all the time, like every day. There's things that I get caught up in. There's things I want to think about. There's places I want to go in my thinking, in my studies. But God, the Holy Spirit, the only one who can get away with nagging, He keeps drawing my attention to something. When I told you that God put Colossians 2:6 in front of my face for 2 full years, it's because for 2 full years, every day, I could not think of anything but Colossians 2:6. I tried. We were pastoring a church. Every time I'd go to preach, it was on Colossians 2:6. Steve, Brother Steve was here. It was back in 93 to 95. I don't remember what year. And all I could think about was Colossians 2:6. Because God was trying to get me somewhere. God was trying to get something through to me. And I wasn't getting it. Because I'm such a quick learner. You know? Often, our understanding gets in the way of what God wants to say. We need to remember that. Kingdom of pride, kingdom of humility. I just love these simple thoughts that He gives me, because when we have that as a basis, it's like, wow, like she said, you're God and I am not. Wow. Every situation, we start applying it in every situation of our life. Kingdom of pride or kingdom of humility. All of a sudden, I'm all bowed up, what do y'all call it, ruffled, mad, angry, defensive. Which kingdom am I operating in? You see what I'm saying? And it's like, wow. Ever since I've been bringing that to my attention, it's like, wow, I'm in the wrong kingdom. And it's like, God, I don't want to be here. And boom, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. As soon as you make that decision, you turn to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It's so simple. We try to make it hard. You don't have to go through 19 steps. 19 steps that we taught on help you to understand where God's wanting to take us, what God is all about repentance. But it's not like you have to go through 19 steps every time. I don't think about that all the time. And in James 4:7-8, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I don't have to go through all that every time, but I just have learned, because I own it. I have learned that as soon as, like when he brings it up, which kingdom are you operating in? Pride or humility? I've just started getting that exercise in the last little while. And I just go, wow, which kingdom? Because as soon as there's like pride, anger, selfishness, defensiveness, straightening somebody out, you ever experienced any of those? Okay. Thank you for the honest ones. I go, wow, I don't want to be in that kingdom. Because I just lost the presence of God. I just lost the mercy of God. I just lost the blessing of God. And it's like, I don't like the way it makes me feel. I don't like anger. I don't like selfishness. I don't like, you know, pushing him away or straightening him out. I don't like the way it makes me feel. And he sure doesn't like the way it makes him feel. See, the devil's into division and subtraction, trying to divide us, trying to steal our joy. It's so simple. We got to live in that simplicity. Don't be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ, my focus, His presence. It's all about just being in His presence. It's not about being right. I don't know how many times people told me this week I was right. And I said, nope, God's right. I just happen to be in agreement on this point. Amen. I said, I'm not right anymore. I used to think I was, because I always thought I was. Really? We ended last week. Does anybody have anything they wanted to say from last week or this week? Whatever, go ahead.
I read 1 Samuel 15.
Yes, sir. Was that our homework? To read 1 Samuel 15?
I think for last week it was.
Yeah, and but this week. Go ahead.
What got me was, now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. And all week I had situations, we'll call them. And sometimes I did good, sometimes I didn't. But my wife pointed out everyone that I didn't.
Holy Spirit in the flesh, I know. God helps us with them so much.
But
go ahead.
I don't even know how I want to say. What I got out of it was two questions. Am I trusting God, and am I obeying God? Is it Glenn's way, or is it God's way? And there's some things that I wanted to say this week. And I said some of them, but I didn't say all of them. So I'm getting closer to where I want to go.
It's the Christian walk, not the Christian arrival. Keep remembering that.
Right.
Don't beat yourself up when you don't. There's some people that they beat themselves up because they lose their temper with their kids, or they get frustrated or whatever it is. And it's like, why are you beating yourself up? Let's look at the video of your life. Don't look at the snapshot. Anybody can fail taking a picture of your life, a particular frame in the video, and we could fail. But let's look at the whole video. Are you closer today? Are you more like Jesus today than you were yesterday? Are you closer? Are you making less decisions that honor the enemy? You see what I'm saying? Okay? Like, don't beat yourself up. As soon as you realize it, confess it, boom, it's like, I was just waiting to forgive you. Did you have more?
No.
Awesome. Yes, you had something to say?
Not about the Samuel verse. Something that we've been really working on in our household is out of 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Something the Lord showed me about verse 6 especially is that when it says here, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, disobedience is a antichrist spirit. And so it says to punish that spirit by fulfilling obedience. And that's what we've been working on in our household, is that if you want to defeat that antichrist spirit of disobedience, then obeying is how you do it. And every single time we obey, that spirit of disobedience is, you could look at it as, you know, if you're thinking about war pictures or something, they're just, you know, I have this picture of the spirit just going, like the witch out of Wizard of Oz, just melting when we put our obedience into fulfillment. So that's something I think that goes along. And I think if Saul had had that kind of mentality, he wouldn't have gotten into the mess that he got into. So.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
With the, even dealing with the kingdom of pride, God had to deal with it. And at a very specific point, it means Exodus 32:9, where he said, I've seen these people, and they are a stiff-necked people. It's because he knew that at that point, their pride had gotten the better of them. But yet forgetting who it was that brought them to that point. And I think that's really, it's a trap we all fall into from time to time. And I think it's, for those that would say that they don't, they're just kidding themselves at that point.
Yes, sir. Deception is bad. Like, somebody deceives me, that's bad. But the worst deception is self-deception. I think, anyway. think that's what God showed me about me. Anybody else? This is all good stuff. Good, good, good. Okay, we ended last week with somebody asking a question, which ate my lunch all week. And the question was, anybody remember the question? That's basically what was said. I think the way it was worded was, how do you know who to follow or who to listen to? You all remember that? Well, it resulted in about 7 different outlines for me of studies, okay? That's just the way God does things with me. So I'm like, Lord, how do we do this? Because there's so many verses you gave me, you know, and I'm not sure exactly how you want to do that, Lord. But I thought there was, so let's just stop for a second. Lord, how do you want to do this exactly? Because we could just read these verses. We could talk about them. You gave me all these thought-provoking questions. 3 sets of them, it seems like, multiple questions. And then you have those 2 principles about how to know. And we say, thank you, Jesus, just make it clear. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Want to give you 2 principles before we go forward. And today we'll talk about how do you know who to follow, okay, or who to listen to, okay? In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, the word says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's kind of like a coin to me, okay? There's what's called spirit, and there's what's called truth. Before we get saved, we have the truth. We have the Word of God. But most people don't pick it up and read it. But it's still available. When somebody gets saved, now the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of them. John 16:13 says he will guide you into all truth. 1 John 2:27, it says you need not that any man teach you, but he'll guide you into truth or teach you truth. John 14:26, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance whatsoever Jesus has said. Kind of like what Jen was talking about, Holy Ghost nagging all week, bringing her attention to a truth, because God is wanting you to own the truth. Not just know about God, not just have nice little sayings. There's many times that we've done this where people would say, where we've done Bernie Bush, however you want to call it, and where people would say, I already know Harvey, I already know Pastor, whatever you call me, you know, that's between you and God, okay? But what I'm saying is, we already know. Can't you tell us something else? Yeah, but you're not living it. And because you know it and you're a minor bird and you can repeat it and you think you know, but like what blessed me was, now I'm just talking in particular, what Jen said, all week long, the Holy Ghost was applying the principle to her. I am God and you are not. I am God and you are not. I am God and you are not. In every area of her life, as she's going through, she's going, wow, you are God and I am not. You are God and I am not. You are God and I'm not. But why am I trying to be God here? Why am I trying to do it my way? Why have I got to give my opinion? Why do I got to try to run things my way and what makes me feel good?
So the Holy Ghost was trying to take the seed of truth and plant it in her spirit by bringing it to her mind. He had it in here, but now he's bringing it to her mind, say, how does this truth apply in this situation? How does this truth apply in your relationship? How does this truth apply in what you put on Facebook? How does this truth apply in how you and Dana interact or react with the little one, Kaylee? Hard to remember everybody's name, you know. The Holy Spirit was wanting her, because she opened this week to something different than maybe she's opened to before. But she opened to it this week, and she allowed God, where God was able to do that, to bring it into her life and apply it moment by moment, every day, every hour into her life, so that she will live Jesus. But you first got to think His way. Because you remember Isaiah 55:8? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Okay? How do we know who to follow? How do we know who to listen to? Let me just help you with a principle, and then we'll talk about that, if that's okay. God says, in order to worship Him in truth, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means, number one, and when Pastor Glenn, when we were in the other building, I'll just give you an application of it. Well, first I'll just say it. What does the Word of God have to say about it? Whenever something comes up in your life, first thing you ought to ask yourself is, what does the Word of God have to say about it? Not, what does everybody think? Who gets the most votes? What do my friends think? You know, don't be a politician. Well, some of my friends think this way and some of them think that way, and I always agree with my friends. Don't be like that. What does the Word of God have to say about it? Number two, what is the Holy Spirit telling you? What is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, bearing witness to? Two more verses. Matthew 4:4, John 16:13. Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, I wonder what this means. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How does the Word of God apply in my life right this second? How does it apply in this relationship, that relationship, this relationship, that relationship? And that's only relationships. How does it apply in my choices? How does it apply in what I watch on TV? How does it apply in how I respond to people that I don't like or people that I do like that rub me the wrong way? You follow what I'm trying to say? What does Word have to say? What is the Holy Spirit telling you? We were in the last building, Pastor Glenn and Roxanne were doing the day ministry there. They had a motley crew of various people coming in and doing all kinds of things, and I'm like, God, and He told me, stay away from the building. I'm like, what? He's like, if you go there, they'll just let you run it, but I want them to learn how to do it, but I want you to guide them in how to hear from me. I don't want them to become Harveyites and just do what you say, but I want you to find out how I want them to learn how to walk out the ministry. So Pastor Glenn, as this was a daily rule, he would call me. I ran into this situation. Somebody's saying this. Somebody's doing that. We had all this corn show up. All kinds of stuff. What do we do? And I would pray. In the beginning, I would pray and say, God, while he's talking, God, what do you want me to tell him? I said, I've got my own opinion. I could run the world. I could, with my opinions, I could run the world. Okay? At least I think so. Legend in my own mind. And I've got all these opinions. But, Lord, I don't want my opinions. What do you want me to say? And he would say, say this. And I would say, well, I believe God would have you, what do you think about this? And he'd go, wow, sounds like God. I said, let's try it. So he'd do it. Wow, it worked. Go figure. You know, 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. Oh, that did work. Well, let's practice something else. God's the only doctor who doesn't practice. You know what I'm saying? It's like he knows what he's doing. But we need to go to him moment by moment. The Word tells us what's available. The Holy Ghost tells us what's right now applicable. Do you understand? How to apply the Word, okay? So he would call me. I would pray. God would tell me. This is how God did it in the beginning. And I would say, Pastor Glenn, I think you ought to try this, or maybe you ought to say that, or I think God's saying this. And he'd go, okay. And he'd do it. Wow, it worked. It just, everything went, it was like, wow. Right? All the time. And then one day he called me, and we kept going on like this for a while. And then one day he called me, and he started to say these same scenarios of what do I do. And I prayed, and God said, don't tell him what to do. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, I'm going to tell you what I want, what he should do, but I don't want you to tell him. I said, okay, what do I do? He said, ask him, what does the Word have to say? What is the Holy Spirit telling you? He go, well, the Word says this, but, just like everybody I ever start doing this process with, because we all have a tendency to be goats. Jesus is the one who makes us sheep, but we have to become sheep, because by tendency we're goats. We but I think, but I feel, but I want, but. Sheep follow goat's butt. Okay? So I would say to him, what does the Word say? Well, the Word says, but, or I'm not sure. And I would say, well, let me give you a couple passages. And I give him a couple passages. He'd go look them up. Wow. I said, tell me what the Word says. And then he'd call me back. Wow, the Word says this. I said, well, can we prove on what God says? I said, let's just try it. And he'd do it, and it worked. And then the other question that I would ask him is, so what does the Word say? And then I'd say, what is God telling you? Well, Roxanne and I are thinking God's saying this, but we're not sure. And I would say, yep, it bears witness with what God's telling me. But he wasn't trusting that it was God, because he wasn't sure, because he had all these other thoughts too. So he was learning how to hear. He was discerning the voice of God and separating him from his own feelings, his own opinions, which he was full of. So he learned, what does the Word have to say? What is the Holy Spirit telling you? And then he did that for a while, and then after a while, he didn't call me that much. Because he went through the process of calling me and saying, well, I think God's saying this. What do you think? I said, well, what does the Word say? Well, the Word says, because he was already getting the habit of learning, what does the Word say? What is Holy Spirit saying? And I think God's saying this. I'd say, yep. I give him confirmation. Boom, he'd run with it. It worked like a charm. Because God is wanting each one of us, like one of you just said, we were able to come here last week and basically have input and learn for ourselves, learn to feed ourselves instead of being spoon-fed, and learn to help develop others. And that's what God's wanting to do here. I just don't know how to do this, So hopefully this is working, but I'm a slow learner too, you know. Nobody taught me how to do this. I'm just trying to do it God's way. So how do we know who to follow? How do we know who to listen to? Before I say anything, I want to hear what you have to say, Al. How do we know who to listen to that speaks into our life? How do we know who to listen to? Have any idea? Okay. That's pretty good. Married people can appreciate that. How do we know who to listen to? How do we know who's supposed to be? How do we know who we're supposed to be under? How about that? Okay.
When they're leading their life.
So, look at the example of the leader. Follow, you know, look at the example, and do I want that in my life?
Yep.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's a good idea. Anything else you want to say? You don't have to. I'm just saying.
Talk about Brother Iron.
I'm asking her.
Anybody else? Oh, good. Anybody else? How do we... Yes, ma'am? But how do we know? How do we know the person? How do we know the person? Okay, under God, tell me what you mean by that, because... That may be one of the answers that God gave me. So tell me what you mean by that.
Maybe I didn't understand that.
How do we know in our own life, like what Jen asked last week, we were talking about authority, discipline, whatever. And she said, but how do we know who to follow? How do we know who we're supposed to be under? Did you want to say something?
For me, if I have peace about it, I know it's God. And if I don't have peace about it, I know it's me.
Is that in the Bible somewhere?
It's written.
Colossians 3:15, if y'all want to know, is one verse on that. Anybody else? What? What? I know a little bit, you know, that's my desire.
No, the thing is, he doesn't look at it and he just, like, fills it out.
That's right. The abundance of the heart, mouth, speaking.
I'm just trying to discern where I should go.
Right. Okay, you have something you want to answer? How do we know who to follow? How do we know who to listen to? In our life, who do we follow? Who do we listen to? Why? How do we know? How do we know that that's the right one?
Well, first of all, we're supposed to follow Jesus.
Okay.
And if we're following Jesus and listening to, being still and listening to His voice and following after our Shepherd Jesus, then He's going to guide us into where we're going to go, and He's not going to bring us to where we're not going to go. He'll bring us down to the right ones that He is allowing to work through them. So it's Jesus anyways. You got our spirit. If we're living in the spirit bears witness with the spirit. And the spirit will let you know that this is the one that I sent to you. So that's how I see it.
Good. Anybody else? How do you know who to follow, Ed? How do you know who to follow, Tom? How do you know who to follow, Marie? Okay, but what if you got all the pastors are glorifying God? How do you know which one God wants you? How do you know who you're supposed to follow? You, not somebody else, not everybody, generic. How do you know who you're supposed to follow.
I guess the one that brings you the most peace and gives you the comfort as you understand the Word of God.
Okay. Good. Anybody else? Tom, Mr. Tom?
I don't recall the specific reference, but there's a verse that talks about God planting people where they're supposed to be.
1 Corinthians 12:18.
And only He has totally infallible information on that. So each of us has to individually seek God, where has God planted me? And that's what we are to obey.
Yes, sir. Anybody else? Well, how do you know who to follow, Marie? How do you know who to follow, Dana? How do you know who to follow, Glenn, too? How do you know who to follow, Roxanne? How do you know who to follow, Donna? How do you know who to follow, Judy? I'm asking you for a reason. Good. I had no doubt in my mind. All you needed was an opportunity.
Okay, I was born being raised someplace that I'm sure God wanted me there for what He gave me, but He told me I would be going into a different body, and that was this body, and that's why I'm here, because He told me and I believed Him.
Awesome. Anybody else?
To know with me, what somebody's telling me just doesn't seem to fit with any scriptural knowledge that I have, then I know that they're not someone that's been put there by God.
Okay. Donna?
Well, Donna. This might not be right. I don't even know if it's scriptural or not. But I always ask God for a sign. I say, okay, if it rains really hard tomorrow, this means that you don't want me to do this, that, the other thing. And so if it rains, and I'm thinking, okay, it rained really hard or just nice or what? Because I said really hard, so this is what I should do, you know. And I know you're not supposed to do that all the time, but if something's really, really important, and I always go to God, that's who I follow. I might ask someone for their opinions, but when it comes right down to it, I always go with God and ask for a sign. That's basically what I do. And I know He probably gets sick of that after a while. But that's what I feel safe with. And sometimes it's just written in the Word. I'll start reading in the Bible, and the answer will be right there in front of my face. So that's what I do.
Okay.
Follow after the Word.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, wait for the mic.
Oh, no.
All right, let's give her a chance.
I think first we need to, no, not I think, oops, let me back up.
But you can say it that way, it's okay, we're not jumping on you.
Okay. God has a will for each one of our lives, individually. And so even if somebody's reading from the Bible and is saying the truth, if it's not going to keep us on the path God puts us on, or that person isn't going to help with that, then they don't have the right to speak into my life.
Okay. Anybody else want to say anything? You want to say something?
I have a thought.
Go ahead.
First of all, I think we have to own the principle of everyone's under authority.
Okay.
So if we don't, I mean, we can't get past what we can't get past. If we don't have that in us, then we can't grow from there. So.
I think, did you mean everyone's supposed to be under authority? Because rebels are not under authority.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Not trying to be right. I'm just saying, if you don't start out that way, then you shot yourself in the foot right off the bat.
Right.
Because God can't deal with a rebellion. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying? He can't.
I agree.
Give you more light if you refuse it.
I want to give us some verses. So if you, I'm going to like read the verses and I'm going to give you the references, but I'm going to read them. And if you have questions, I'm not going to try to go through it fast, but if you have questions or comments, because after we go through reading the verses, then we'll talk about it. Because I just want us to have a lot of word of God, not just my word and my opinion or yours. Okay? We're in agreement with that, right?
Yeah.
All right. Proverbs 1, 7 through 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains or ornaments about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Jeremiah 3:15. God says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Matthew 7:15 to 20. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Luke 6:46. Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Romans 13:1-7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That's what Nate was talking about we're supposed to be under authority, according to God. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, or because of this, ye must needs be subject, or in submission, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. 1 Corinthians 4:14-17. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Hear this. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you, or helped you to get born again, through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. 1 Corinthians 10:21 to 24. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, or permissible, but all things are not expedient. They're not convenient. They're not good. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. They don't build me up. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth or another's good. 1 Corinthians 10:31 to 33. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:18, Tom alluded to. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Ephesians 4:20 and 21. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Colossians 1:7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 2:10-14. Ye are witnesses in God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. 2 Thessalonians 3:7-9. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation or lifestyle, in charity, which is love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Somebody talked about following a good example. Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Four more passages. James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. 1 Peter 5:3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. 1 John 5:6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verses 9 and 10. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. A lot of verses, a lot of thoughts. I did kind of go kind of fast. Please forgive me. Just a lot of verses. I just wanted to get them out there. I want you to hear the Word of God. Anybody have any comments, questions on what was just said? A lot of verses we are reading confirmed a number of things that, if not everything, that people were saying in here to the answer to the question. Okay? Let me sum up some things, and then I want to ask you some hard questions if you can handle it. Or if you want it. If you don't, I understand. Okay? Sorry, it's how I was wired, you know? God is over all. Amen? And then, just like in the home, like let's say there's Al, and then there's Donna, and then there's little Al and Donna's, okay? Well, when Al is at work and Donna is at home, who's the head of the home? Donna. And who are the kids supposed to follow and obey? Donna. And when I came home, if they didn't follow Sue, now they're going to deal with Dad. Do you understand? So the kids used to beg Sue to spank them before I got home. Okay? Now, I want you to understand something. When we don't obey God, okay, when we don't obey the authority that's in our life, we're going to answer to God, because he's the one who put the authority in our life. When it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, it's not because the wife is, a woman is less than a man. It's not because the man's smarter, because I don't remember seeing that situation where that was true, okay? But it's because somebody has to be in charge, and God chose the man. It didn't say the man was to be the completer. It says the woman was supposed to be the completer. God created the man, then he created the woman to complete the man, okay? And that's why when Al said that earlier and we laughed, but it's true. He says, how do I know who to follow? He says, I first ask God, and then I ask my wife. Well, that's pretty smart. Because a lot of guys don't ask their wife. They don't listen. I hear them on the phone all the time when I'm doing my business. And the guy doesn't listen to his wife, doesn't care about what his wife thinks. She doesn't even have an opinion. I mean, he may listen to her as a dog before he listened to her. And I can hear it in the wife, and it grieves me. I mean, I don't know if it's God showing me it must be, because I'm not all that smart. Sue's all discerning. But, man, I pick it up all the time, you know. And it's like, oh, this is just sad, okay, because she sees things, men, that we don't see. And you need to listen. That doesn't mean she's supposed to run everything. It means you need to listen, you need to consider, and you dwell with them according to knowledge. You need to realize God's going to hold you, man, accountable for your family. God's going to hold you accountable. You are the final authority. But you need to listen to that woman because she's gifted. She's strong and there's your weekend. Okay? All of us men are basically, we don't need to hear a resounding amen like we did last week. But all of us men are basically wired as knuckleheads, okay? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be like, let's get real, okay? And women in churches, there's normally more women than there is men because women are more sensitive, okay? And they're more relationship-oriented than men are. You get around men and they're talking about things. You get around women, they're talking about people. It's the way it is a lot of times, you know. We need to listen because there's things. And you know what? It's just these are things we need to come into. So here's God, and he's authority, but he has what's called a chain of command. If we start with a child, okay, I can hold her. I don't care. Is that what you want?
I don't care. You said we're looking for a child.
No, I wasn't looking for a child.
There you go.
I wasn't looking for a child.
Go home.
Okay. God, what? 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 She's, look. Hey, look, over there. See? Hey. That's right. Let's all laugh. Let's look over there and laugh. Okay. Does that feel better now? Okay, she didn't give you away. Don't worry about it. Okay, we start with a child, and then over the child's the mother, and then over the mother is the dad, and then over the dad is authorities like teachers, policemen, firemen, city officials, blah, 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 president, and then we have church is in there. I'm not going to go there right now, but And leadership there. But if we just follow this up, we have the Holy Ghost who lives inside of us. We have Jesus Christ. And then we have God the Father. When you don't deal with the one who's immediately over you, you're going to have to answer to the next one in their chain of command. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Anybody got any comments on that? Anybody want to say something about that? Yes. Okay. Okay.
I read the verse about wives submit. What does that mean? Because from where, like, oh, is another one? Am I your prickly pear again?
No, it's just that I'm going, dude, there's like seven different outlines that I had just from the last question, you know, and now this one is like, how do we go? Go ahead.
Well,
I want to hear what you got to say.
It's just like from my experience, you know, growing up, it's like when I hear submit, I hear ordered around, I hear slave, I hear what the husband says goes, no question, no opinion. And I know it's probably not right, but I don't know what it means.
Okay, anybody want to comment on that? Patty?
Wives submitting to the husbands, and I can only speak from my perspective because I did not submit for quite a few years, is that when there's a situation that in our family, there's a decision to be made, I can have an opinion about it, I can tell him my opinion, but the final decision of what we do rests on him. And I go along with that even though I don't like it, even though I think he may be doing something incorrectly or it's not the right way to go. I have to, I have to obey with a good attitude. But I'm not successful in that, but that's what I think.
That's your goal.
It is. That's for me, submitting to the things that he wants to do. And the Lord has really helped me. But see, how can I be that submissive? Because my trust is really in God. And I know that whatever decision Tom's makes, whatever decision Tom makes, good or bad, however it affects our family, that God is in control and God's going to turn it around for his glory, even if I have to suffer for it. And that's the point I had to get to is, am I willing to suffer so that he can get whatever God wants for him as the leader of our household? That's a hard place to get as a wife, you know, but...
Everything she said is true, that as I understood it, and but I want to back up and say it this way, okay? She addressed it from the daily application, okay? But let's back up. You first have to settle it in your heart. He's God, and I'm not. He gets to choose. Okay, if you want a verse, Psalm 75, 6 and 7. It says, promotion cometh not from the east, the west, or the south, but God is judge, the north. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God establishes authority. God puts people in authority. Mr. Obama is in the presidency because God put him there, okay? Because the people wanted it that way, okay? And God's like, okay, you're going to learn, you know? Just like he allowed the Israelites to have a king, King Saul. He tried to warn them. They wouldn't listen. God's tried to warn people, but in America, what I addressed a couple of weeks ago, we have a prevailing spirit of rebellion. Okay? And like when I was watching Daniel Boone this week, it reminded me of where they were at and why we as Americans came out from under British rule. And I agree with what they did and stuff, but we needed to safeguard ourselves and say, I want to obey, but I am going to disobey with an obedient attitude as in submission to God. What I mean is, if Tom said to Patty, Patty, I don't want you reading your Bible. I don't want you praying in the Spirit. I don't want you praying. I don't want you going to church. And she would, to me, to be right with God, she would need to say and have peace with her own self, Tom, I want to obey you. But you're asking me to obey you instead of God. And I can already hear. Okay. But that's why we're doing it this way, so that it can be discussed, and that's fine. But it's like, I want to obey you. Okay, but you're asking me to disobey God, because the Word says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. The Word says, you know, to read the Word daily. The Word says to pray without ceasing. And if Tom was to say, you cannot do this, Tom, I want to obey, but you're asking me to disobey God to obey you. So I am going to disobey with an obedient attitude, a submissive spirit. You see what I'm saying? Not a, well, who do you think you are, and trying to straighten him out and all that stuff that we do. See, for us to rebel against America in its infancy, you know, or emergence, to rebel against what Britain was doing was right. But to have the spirit wrong was not right. And they were in the right spirit. That's why God blessed it. That's why God put it together, blah, blah, blah. Okay? But then as time went on and we forsook God, now it's prevailing spirit of rebellion, which is what we see in America. Now, do you want to comment?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
The husband has to submit to a higher authority, so it's all just submit, all the way down until
the
teddy bear and the man.
And that's what I was saying, by the child, the mother, the dad, the policeman, the court. Yes.
Just to add to this, there's non-relational authority and there's relational authority. And God is about relationship. So that's a good clue of who speaks into your life. We submit to the law, but they're non-relational authority. Right. But what we have to understand is where has God planted us in a relationship? And that's a good clue of who we listen to, who we submit to, like in our daily lives.
Correct.
I mean, we don't run to the police station and talk about the law 24 hours a day, right. But we run to our spouse and we live with them and we right. talk about it 24 hours a day.
Right.
Because God has planted a relationship, and you grow where you planted. I have to submit to the police, but see, they don't live with me. Right. They don't speak into my life right. every day. So.
And they're more like have boundaries out here of law, whereas the relational is like right around us.
Right, and God's all, I mean, this whole church is all about relationship.
That's what our church is about, relationship, you know. And Jesus, God is all about relationship.
Hear me, but you said that if Tom were to tell me to not read my Bible, not go to church, not pray, do all of those things, that I need to say, hey, Tom, sorry, but I'm going to go. Where I think for my household anyway, maybe this doesn't apply across the board, but for my household, I believe that the Lord would want me to talk to him first. Because because Tom says I can't do that, I might win him, or the Lord might win him through me saying, okay, Tom, if you say I can't go to church, I'm not going to go to church. Even though it grieves my heart, I'm not going to go. And then still love him and still serve him and still be kind to him. Of course, I would read my Bible and pray in secret, in private. but it depends. I know that you don't. I know that you and I don't. We're kind of different in that respect. But you've always taught us that we need to listen to God, what God's telling us. And even though He has said, the Word says, do not. What is that about? Exactly. There are times He tells you not to go. There's times He's told you not to go. There's times He's told me not to go. And He is the only one that knows if my going or not going would do something in Him. That if He said it to me, then I would have to ask the Lord. And I would have to say, okay, God, He's telling me not to go. Your Word says to go, but what do You want me to do? And then I would need to do what the Lord's telling me to do.
You know, I can't hit every single thing. I told you there were 7 outlines, and I just gave you just a few verses and only 1 outline. You know what I mean? I can't hit every single one that covers every single thing at every point.
See, and what I've gotten from your teaching all these years is that yes, the most important thing is to listen to what God is telling you to do.
Right.
And if God's telling you to do something, then it gives, and you have that peace to do it, then if it's not out and out sinful, then that's what we need to do.
Okay. And when, like, if Tom said to you, maybe I better use somebody else. Yeah. If Glenn told Roxanne, I don't want you going to church, okay? You see, what happens is we become what we associate with, okay? And when you remove a coal from a fire, it does not have the influence, and it doesn't stay lit as long as the rest of the fire does, because it glows. There's a whole principle in going to church, okay? Go ahead. You want to say something? Okay. When somebody asks us to do something, see, like, let's say, there's a lot of things that Obama wants to say, or whatever, President Obama, I'm sorry, wants to say, but whenever I look at it, it always does not bear witness with Scripture, We need to follow the Word, and we need to follow the Holy Spirit. We need to ask God. When God told me, Harvey, you know, He said, resign this church. I resigned it. I said, what do you want me to do next? And I thought we were going to go back into national evangelism, go around and preach all over the place again. And he said, I want you to give me a gift of waiting. What does that mean? And then he basically said, I said, well, where are we going to go to church, when he told me what that meant? And he said, I can't let you go to church. And I'm like, wait a minute, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, I'm like thinking, okay? And God's like, Harvey. And then he starts explaining to me why. And then he shows me in the Bible scriptural examples of doing this. But see, it's different. Because I wanted to go to church. And when people ever say that to me, but you didn't go. Yeah, but I wanted to go. You don't want to go. You're just using it as an excuse. You see what I'm saying? What's the motivation behind? And is God telling you, or is it your will? And that's one of the things that we need to get to on this thing is it one of the hard questions? We won't even go over the questions today. But one of them is, are you willing to follow God instead of your feelings and your wants? Are you willing to lay down what you want and what you feel to give God what He wants? Are you willing to do that? Because if not, then He's not God of your life. You're God of your life, and you're trying to get Him to bless it. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need to ask God. We need to go. God gave us the Holy Spirit, but He doesn't just... when people say, well, I feel like I'm supposed to do this, but it doesn't bear witness in the Scripture, and it doesn't bear witness when God gives people over you, and it doesn't give... It doesn't bear witness to them. God says, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. That's why when God was telling me this, I called other people and said, please speak into my life. And others said to me, seven who didn't know each other and didn't know I was calling the other ones. Seven all over the country. And I said, God is leading me to do something. He wouldn't let me tell him what it was. But I said, God is leading me to do something. I want you to pray about me. I want you to spend a few days or a few weeks and pray and ask God. And every one of them to a T said, I don't know what it is, but God's saying He definitely wants you to do whatever it is you feel like He's telling you to do. You know what I mean? And every one of them came back. And I expected, because they were all various kinds and different flavors and all that, but I called because I wanted to be under authority. And I wanted to have counselors, and multitude of the counselors are safety. So when somebody says, when you say, well, I feel like God wants, I'm asking you a question, a principle to help you. It's not me. I'm asking you. And I said I wasn't going to ask you all the questions, but I'm going to ask you a couple. I already asked you. Are you willing to lay down what you want and what you feel to give God what He wants? Ask yourself that honestly. Number two, are you willing to, I think what I'm going to do, what I'm feeling, what I think God's telling me, do you really want to know if it's God? Then, number one, ask God. I asked God for seven people. And He brought people to my mind I hadn't even contacted in years. And He brought other people in my mind that were in my life, but, you know, sporadically at times, okay? And He gave me seven people. Authority people in my life. And I asked them. And they all prayed. And they all called me like a week later or whatever. And all every one of them confirmed. Okay? Are you willing to ask people that are an authority in your life? I feel like God's telling me to do this. Would you be willing to pray about it? See, when my kids would come, they learned it. They came to me, the answer is no. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. And they come to me, the answer was no. But if they learned to say, Dad, will you pray about it? When I prayed about it, often the answer was yes. But Harvey the Knucklehead, Mr. Control Freak, the answer was always no. Because it's kind of like the other night when Janiyah and Dudley were at the house. You were with me. What was that, Thursday night? Friday night? Thursday night? Dude! Normally he shows up. We take our food on trays. We go in the living room. We turn on and watch Perry Mason or Daniel Boone or whatever. This day, Janiyah and all these kids are all over my house. When he came and showed up, we just sat there at the table for like 2 hours. I couldn't think of anything but all these kids going all over the place. And all that. I love them. They're all my grandkids. But it was like I couldn't function. Okay? We need to ask people around us. Well, I think God wants me to do this. Would you be willing to ask other people around you? Well, this is what we're going to do. How does Donna feel about that? Well, she'll do whatever. And I look at her and you can see it all over. But he didn't ask her. I'm not picking, you know, as bad example. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use you as a bad example. That's the way it is in my house. Okay? I'm the bad example. Well, Harv, did you ask Sue? Except for she doesn't get that way because I've got her out of her box. I can't get her back in. You know, she's going to tell me now. You know, it's not like before. For many years, she just let me do whatever I want. You know, and I was the king. And now it's better. But I had to go through a hard place of not being dethroned. Okay, and that was not fun because I like to get in my way. I'm selfish. Are you willing to ask people around you and listen to what they have to say? Reuben, what do you think? See? It's hard. Because now, it's what's really in our heart. Now we got to go and fix that relationship to even be able to hear and have a conversation. You understand? And see, God's always about relationships. Because the relationship's not right, we can't even hear them because we're already offended, even thinking about asking. God wants to deal with relationships. That's what's most important. Okay? But are you willing to ask the people around you? I know you already think you're right. Okay? Because we all do. But God's the only one who's right. And we need to come in agreement with Him. Okay? I want to challenge you. We'll be done. Are you ready? In case you haven't got enough challenges. Proverbs. 31 days a month, 31 Proverbs. What's today? 13th. Go read Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. Read the whole chapter. I dare you to read Proverbs from now, every day. You read one proverb, whatever day it is. Okay? Through the month of January. That'll be 6.5 months. If you do that, I promise you, your life will never be the same. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, practical application for your everyday life. Start reading the book of Proverbs, at least one proverb a day. Don't read more than that. Just read one a day. I mean, you can read other, you're supposed to read other places. But I'm saying read Proverbs every day. God, what do you want me to see? That simple. God, what do you want me to see? Okay? We'll pick up next week. Anybody? Any other questions? We're going to pick up on this question next week of how do I know who to follow? How do I know who to listen to? We'll talk about that again next week. More verses. Anybody have any questions or comments? Were your thoughts provoked today? Did you have to think? Were you challenged? Were you blessed? You don't know what to do. Okay. We love you. You are awesome. We want to follow you, but we want to follow you in truth, not just think we're following you. And we really want our lives to change because we really don't like our lives without you. So we want more of you in our lives. And as we're doing it this way, I think it's going to help us to get you more in our lives in an everyday practical situation and begin to see some real changes in our life And we just want to commit it into your hands and just tell you, we are your workmanship. You are the potter. We're the clay. Come mold us into the very image of the precious Lord Jesus. And we thank you for being able to pray. Jesus, you made it possible. You're so awesome.